Hi, Dumpster Divas. We are back with another episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamlin, and this is a special, extra special surprise bonus ep. We're going to be covering Scary Island today in honor of Halloween. This is coming out right on Halloween morning, so happy spooky season, the end of it to everyone listening, and to cover the spookiest of Housewives episodes of all time. I'm joined by return guest Eric Williams. You can follow him at Eric Wills, and then also by his husband Matt Loomis. You can follow him at Matt Loomis on Instagram as well. And I think this is our first couple on, so welcome.
Thank you so much. This is big for both of us. We've never done a podcast together. Oh my god.
So should I ask for relationship things? Or
no. Matt says no, I say yes. That's kind of how it goes, where I like to overshare, Matt likes to undershare. So let her rip, babe.
Right, it's either going to be like a horny app, a like revealing app, or
a combination of the two.
We talk about in therapy.
Yeah, it's going to be a therapy and horny, which is honestly like my two favorite things, self-help and cock.
Well, that is Roni, essentially.
Truly. Kelly mostly.
Kelly's not horny though. Like she's so rewatching this. I mean, she's so like asexual,
sex negative. One might
sex
say
sex negative. Definitely.
I shouldn't say asexual, because that's I make that sound like it's a bad thing. There are asexual people in this world that deserve, you know, all the love in the world. Well, not you know what I mean.
They deserve what they want.
They deserve the asexual attention that they don't want or want. Yeah. But but Kelly, you're right. It's so sex negative.
I'm like anti-hobag.
Anti-hobag. And one might say homophobic. Remember the whole moment where she's like, are you two gonna go make out with Tonko? It's like, okay, well, A, what if they were? B, you wish you had an ounce of the excitement that was like she wishes she had her. She has not felt any wetness below the belt for decades.
I agree. And I mean, honestly, couldn't you just see her loving getting like dicked down by a stud in Brooklyn somewhere?
She wishes. That woman has never been dick. I of course I was like, Matt, be really nice, not cussing me like being a fucking monster. Remember,
let's not forget she was married to from, you know, photography fame / America's Next Top Model fame, Jill Ben Simone.
Right. Oh. Well, I hope Kelly they made love. I hope they made beautiful love.
Well, if you don't know what he looks like, I hope they didn't.
I'm gonna have to Google this.
Yeah, I don't know if I just always know the name from Tyra saying it.
Right, because he gave her her big break. He gave Tyra her big break. Right. He like took a photo of her somewhere that blew up and was the cover. Or maybe he did her first cover or something like that.
Oh, wow.
He's just like an old French, like, small kind of white man. He's just not that hot. He's just like kind of an ugly little old white man.
He's what I picture the Count looking like.
Exactly. But the Count was maybe a little bit more attractive. I mean, isn't that weird? We really don't get Count flashbacks much at all, like, of him. I wonder if he, like, has a You Can't Show My Face on Bravo sort of thing.
Probably, because we haven't. For me, it sounds like Luann is attracted to these types of men, because the date, the guy that she's with in, like, one of the first Scary Island episodes we're going to talk about, that she goes to that place in Chinatown, and he was just, to me, gross.
Gross. He was, and there was so much cocaine that clearly being done off camera.
Allegedly. I believe it.
He kept just like sniffing and being like, so did you hear this place has been around forever? Can I make out with you?
If I had a crystal ball for finding out what cocaine usage has occurred on Bravo shows, I feel like I would be at peace. Like, if we're like with Lisa Rinna and Dorit, was there an ounce of cocaine in that house? With Luann off camera at all times, with the Summer House. I mean, I'm sure there's mountains.
Dorinda and John.
Yes.
Oh, Dorinda and John. I mean, I think, Eric, the answer is yes. Just like everything
you said. A blanket, yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Think about how prevalent it is just in, like, New York in general. Like, I'm sure that they are.
I was always a virgin coke girl. I literally have barely ever seen it in the wild.
Really?
No, really. What about you, Matt? Have you seen coke around?
Yeah, Matt. Do you feel comfortable talking about that?
I've only seen it like once, one of my 4 a.m. Hell's Kitchen days. And now I'm like, I should have just done it then. Now I'm too old.
It's not worth it. It really isn't. I did it a little. I didn't do it a lot of it, but I just like did it every once in a while socially in my like going out era. And it just facilitates like even worse of a hangover because you don't really get drunk when you're out because you're just like hyped up, like gnawing on like vodka soda glasses. But then like the next morning you are like, oh, I feel like I had 10 vodka sodas. So that would be why I feel like death. So it's not for me.
Neither. And no, neither. I've never done it. Matt and I are both Coke virgins. And I don't want that at all. So I'll leave it to the Bravo Labs.
Leave it to the Bravo Labs. Well, before we get into the episode, into Scary Island, Matt, you are new here to the pod. So first of all, welcome.
Thanks.
Yeah, of course. And we like to kind of get to know our new guests here on the podcast by asking them about their journey with reality television. And what reality show made you a quote unquote dumpster diva? And that's what we like to call our fellow trash people. And this isn't to be Bravo, just like kind of like your entry into the genre as a whole. And additionally, was there like a reality star that you loved?
Wow. Okay. So definitely the entry drug was The Real World, Hawaii. I believe that was like
the tech and Ruthie, right?
Ruthie, just like such a mess. That was like right at the middle school era for me when I started getting into it. So that was definitely it. And then Real World, New Orleans, obviously like Danny is everyone's first reality star crush, every little gay boy across the country.
Right, of course.
Yeah, so it really started with Real World before the Bravo days.
Yeah, and then do you like continue on to the Challenge world as well? And do you still do that or no?
Oh yeah, Road Rules. I would do the Real World and the Road Rules and then they would mix them with the Challenge. And I was into that for a while, but after a certain point, I'm like shocked that they're still going on. I didn't know it was still going on, but I don't think I will be tuning into any new ones, even though I hear like Trishel and some of those people are still around doing it, which is sad.
Yeah, so Eric, you had such judgment in your face. You're like, God, wow.
Oh, I was so lost in my own thoughts. I was just like going along on Matt's journey and I was like thinking, I agree with Matt that I can't believe they still do it. And then I was, my inner monologue was like, but also a lot of people tend to like it. Like Danny Pellegrino still talks about how good it is. And I'm like, yeah. I mostly won't watch it because of commitment issues. I just have so many other things and it's ranked. It's not high enough on my list to dive back in. That feels like starting Love Island from the beginning and then trying to watch all 8,000 episodes. I just don't have it in me.
I think notoriously the most like intimidating show is Love Island because you can't, it's like, where do I start? And then how am I going to commit to like the 40? Like, and I'm not exaggerating, like 40 episodes. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's scary.
I've had a few people come on my podcast and be like, oh, my God, and we got to talk Love Island. And I have to be like, sorry, vibes. It's not, I'm not going to be able to add to the discourse. I will give you Love is Blind. Of course, I will give you other Garbaggio. But Love Island, I just like, I'm so nervous to dip my toe.
Wait, have y'all started season 3 of Love is Blind?
Unfortunately.
Of course. It's created a bit of a rift in our household, but so I'm here for it. And Matt is all of a sudden deciding he's too good for it. I'm like, sweet, sweetheart.
They know the formula. It's that and the circle. They're all too aware. I can't.
The circle, I can't do it anymore. But the circle is also too genuine for me. I can't. Like, those people are kind of just annoy me. Like, yeah. I'm like, fight. Let's go. Let's get in the mix a little bit more. No, with Love is Blind, the thing I realized in this season is like, you know, they're not getting engaged. Like they are, I guess, but like the stakes, when you first get your eyeballs on it, the stakes of like engagement to marriage, you're like, that's insane. But now that the show has been out for a little bit, you're like, well, they're just saying yes to coupling up with someone so they can be on this reality television program. And throughout this like journey together, they can then decide if they legitimately want to get married. And even if they did get married, they can still get an annulment. Like, there's a lot of like loopholes to the whole situation. So then we get people like What's that Pilates instructor? What's her name?
Oh my gosh. Raven.
Yeah, Raven is tough. But I do think she's good TV because how toxic she is. But I do think you're right that the stakes are so much lower, because I think even one of the people said, if we get married, when they were referring to the wedding, whereas season one, it was when we get married. It's right. Like, but actually that kind of, for me, makes it more fun, because did you catch in the clips for what's upcoming where they were like showing clips from the weddings themselves? And like, obviously as a proud Jew watching a non-Jewish family and a Jewish family combine, and then you're staring at the service and you're watching all the yarmulkes, and then like, are their differences gonna work out? Matt, it's very topical because I'm Jewish, Matt is not Jewish, and so like, I just think like, even though there's a chance it's not going to go through, the fact that they have to make that decision on television in front of their families, I still think that makes it drama enough. Does that trigger you, Matt?
It's so stressful. It is stressful.
I really was cackling so hard though when Raven was laying sideways, like at the resort with the Pilates ring in her feet, doing an interview. She's like, chatting with the camera. She's like, "Well, you know, I was thinking about the relationship," and she's literally like doing pulses with.
She's like "Pilates me is different than real me." And she's like, "I'm a fucking bitch when I'm teaching Pilates."
I wrote it down because I screenshot it. She said, "There's Pilates me, not fiance. No, Pilates Raven, not fiance Raven."
Yeah, I feel bad for the guy that she is dating on the show. I think he's a kind, beautiful soul that does not deserve Hurricane Raven.
Does not, but it's gonna be for good TV. And then also, what about the sociopath who put water drops on the wall?
Unbelievable TV.
He needs
you
help.
I mean, the housewives are doing that all the time.
God, I hope not. But that's how naive I am, because I'm like, no, they are real. Their emotions are real. Of course, it's so beyond produced. But
Erica, you're like, no one does cocaine and everyone's crying.
My therapist once told me years ago, like, she basically point blank was like, you are a fucking naive pussy bitch. Like, I just like, I think I sometimes
look through rose colored glasses sometimes.
Yeah, well, better that than the other, I think, probably in the long run. But yeah, I mean, also, wait, who is Jewish though on the show? I'm trying to remember
the really fun curvy girl that she's like the first time they introduce her.
She's Jewish.
They do a close up of her face walking, and then of course a behind shot like below her ass. I'm like, can these people give an ounce of dignity to the people who did sign up for a trash show? But no, she is Jewish. She apparently, Israeli family, they're loud. Mm-hmm. He comes from clearly a very polite, you know,
Southern
whatever. And so I just can't wait to see how that unfolds. I mean, it's very personal.
I think that they are the one, they're the only like kind of like genuine.
I love them. I love them
in the bunch. Yeah. I actually do really like them together. And then what was the other woman who just like, what's her name? Colleen. Oh. She just like hopped around until she found.
Wait, was she the ballet
that was
dancer?
Sad.
It was so sad. She got dumped like twice, and she was like, "I guess that means you're the one."
I know. That's the point where they just want the followers. They just are going to be on the show. Like, they are like in love with this person, going to get married, and then they get rejected, and they're like, "But I could also marry you." I'm like, "No, it's okay. We all know what's happening."
All right, it's a business opportunity.
Yes,
like it literally is. Like they're going to now make money as influencers just by being on the show. So you gotta work.
God willing for them. God, I hope it's worth. Did you get the likes? Did you get the engagement? Did you get? It's very that.
Yeah. Well, an era pre-influencers where I think reality television was better was season 3 of Romy.
Wow.
I mean, so today we are covering Scary Island, which if you've never seen Scary Island, I don't quite know how you found yourself listening to this podcast, but if you need to rewatch it, it is on Peacock. It's Real Housewives of New York season 3, episodes 11 through 13, that kind of sandwiches in the full vacay. And this is known throughout the Housewives universe, as maybe like one of the best trips of all time, just from an iconic drama standpoint. And it also is the trip that launched like trips, like cast trips seasonally.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't even think about it that way.
Yeah, so once this was like a huge moment and Bravo realized like how freaking entertaining it is to just watch these women just like sit on a boat in the middle of the ocean and just have that. they were like, well, we gotta bring this over to other places. So yeah, I mean, it's legendary in its own right. I mean, it's a pretty stacked, just like front it and like everything you want. You know, we're laughing, we're crying. We have these like interstitial scenes with Luann back in the city. Yeah. Like,
yeah, what is going on with Jill and Luann, who are obviously not on the trip, and we're getting these just like
ice skating.
Yeah.
Well, it feels like an episode of The Golden Girls where like everyone go, like, you know, those sitcom episodes where like the episode is about this, but then there's like two of them have to pair off and just do something else like for the episode because they can't get like, it feels like that, like, or Friends, I guess that's a better example because it's a bigger cast. Like all are, you know, in some sort of hijinks, and then the other two like, oh, I need to make a cake, can you help? Like,
it's very B plot, very B plot.
B is generous. I mean, like Luann, although the joke's on us though, because Luann in the top of episode 11, where the like beginning episode of Scary Island, she introduces us to Money Can't Buy You Class.
The start of it all. It's really, I was shocked to see that included in these episodes. I was like, wow, we get everything.
Yeah. No, we really do. Now, I have something shocking to reveal here. And I've talked about it a bit on the pod before, but I have met this music producer.
Wait, we need context.
Yes.
So and once I've shared this before, so fast forward a little bit if you haven't heard, but if not, stay and listen. I was on a pride float, and which we'll get back to him in a second, I promise, this all circles back. I was on a pride float in 2015
doing cocaine.
Well, I wasn't, but well, never mind. Allegedly. So I was on a pride float in 2015. A friend of mine asked me to like help. We were like volunteers who like walked along the side of the pride float. And he asked me to be a part of it with him because he was going to be on the float that Luann was on. And he knew how much of a Housewives fan I was. And I was like, I wouldn't miss it. Absolutely. Cannot wait to meet her. And this was the season, this is like the don't be all uncool season, like that. Which season. That was a really fun Luann era because she was a dick, but she was being slutty
messy,
and like not a
bit. Yes.
And so I just loved her then. Like I was like, God, she's just such good television. She had just fucked a pirate. That was the season before that. Like there's just so much, just fun, slutty Luann, just drinking up a storm. And so the float though was sponsored by her record label, which is this man. And so all of the talent on the float were all of his like Z-list like pop divas. So it was like her, some like man who like sings at probably gay bars in South Beach. Like there was like a duo of girls. Like it was like a very interesting bunch of people.
Annalise Vanderpool.
Similar, yeah. And additionally, Luann brought Dorinda on. This was her first season. She brought her on the float with her. So I got to meet Dorinda. But long story short, she thought that the float was like kind of centered around her, when in reality, the float was like a group of people. And additionally, there was like a charity component to the float. And there was this woman and her daughter who were trying to like raise money because her daughter had some sort of disease, and she was on the float with us, the daughter. And so we're rolling up t-shirts on the float with like the name of their organization on it. Like I felt like it was a full-on like Parks and Rec episode. I'm like, there's wait, is this float Luann? Is this the record label? Is this the charity? What are we doing? So I'm rolling up t-shirts for this charity with literally the face of the charity and her mother. And Luann walks up and she goes, what are those? And I was like, oh, it's just like a t-shirt, like about like the charity, like that's like part of the reason why we're here on the float today. And she was like, well, no one told me that there would be like an opportunity to give away things. I thought we couldn't do that because like, I would love to have given out a shirt. Like, can I see the shirt? And she like takes it. She's like, why doesn't the shirt say like Luann? Like don't be all uncool.
No.
Or like, like, and she keeps saying, and she's like, money can't buy you class. It could have been on the back. She's saying all this stuff. And I don't know what in the Bethany Frankel came over me, but I looked at her and I go, I'm sorry, Luann, I actually don't think this is about you.
No!
You, so it turns out you were filming Roni in this moment.
So that didn't go over great. And she goes, well, okay, well, I have a job for you. And she brought a 10-foot-long sign that said Countess Luann on it that I was then instructed to carry in front of the float the whole parade.
Oh, my God.
It was, like, not about her. So she, like, literally was like, okay, well, even though this float isn't about me, here's a sign, carry it. So everyone knows that it really is.
This is actually my float.
Yeah.
You are not helping my case for liking Luann. She really lost me the past couple of years.
She's tough. No, she's tough. And she really is exactly what you see on television. And it was dark. And then at the end of the parade, we got separated from the float. And I ended up keeping the sign under my bed for like
a couple of days. Oh my gosh. We have had a couple of run-ins with Luann, and the first one was just like that. Our friend was a tour guide on the Real Housewives of New York bus tour, which had like just launched. And she's like, we've got comps. Yeah. Do you want to come? I think Luann's going to actually be there. And it was like a week after it had premiered, and they premiered and the whole bus was wrapped with their picture. So we're there. There's like 10 people on the bus, kind of sad. And then Luann shows up and they had unwrapped the bus. It was just like a normal Greyhound. And she was like, where's our picture? I thought there was going to be a picture. And she was being a diva about that. They were playing her music videos. She comes on. She's like, did you watch my music video? Did you listen to Chic Say Libby? Did you listen to... It was all the head.
Very similar.
Very, and she had just gotten engaged. She had her yellow diamond.
Well, Matt is
she's sat right next to me.
I was going
to
say, Matt, you're bearing the lead here. She sat directly next to Matt and was like, kept on... Matt was like the Greek chorus to her. She kept being like, do you see the ring? And only staring into Matt's eyes. And it was just like dark-sided.
It was a beautiful moment, but sad. And after the first stop, she peaced out. She's like, I'm not on this. My picture isn't here. I'm leaving.
That does not surprise you that she would center herself like in that whole ordeal.
Yes.
Well, I would like to bring back the New York City bus tour because, like, the Roni bus tour.
It was...
I mean, so much more has happened since then because I think that was, like, the Jewels season or whatever. Like, think about how many seasons have happened. So many iconic
I feel like it'd be a little... It would be sad now to be like, and this is where the season... The show really started to lose its... yeah. And, like, which led to now the demise of Roni. Obviously, you can't talk about Scary Island or Lou without briefly mentioning our feelings about the new cast for the new one. I don't know. I'm hopeful but nervous.
I actually am excited because I think that, like, New York, you know, the city has a lot to offer. There are a lot of really interesting people. And most people that live here are crazy. Like, yes. And I'm speaking on myself at that. Like there's a little something about all of us that like made us like be here. So I'm hopeful that we'll get a little bit more, you know, drama than just influencers talking about like who has the bigger following. But I'm excited about Jenna Lyons, honestly, because if she's desperate enough to go on this show, she's desperate enough to stir up something.
To throw a glass of wine at least.
I honestly think so, because she's like it's a wild choice for her to like be like, I'm going to do Roni.
Well, not to plug, but when the many months ago I had the girls from Dyking Out podcast on mine, and they had just interviewed Jenna Lyons, who was very overtly mentioning that she wanted to be on Roni. I think they had said to her that she should be on it, and she was like, I'm down, let's do it. Then Dyking Out girls came on my podcast, started talking about it, and they also talked about Jenna Lyons being on Roni, and then...
You got her cast, is what you're saying.
I think what I'm saying is that, speaking of making things about Luann, I'm making this about me.
Wait, Matt, what are your thoughts, though?
I'm excited for it. I mean, it's very sad, end of an era. I'll miss our girlies. Hopefully, whatever the legacy is, fine, but... Jenna Lyons, super exciting. Saida Silva, one of the influencers on there, I like have followed for a while, and I think she's super cool and rich and hot and young. So I'm excited.
Important. Isn't that a Dorinda quote?
I can't believe Yeah. Is that the thing she's like whispering to Ramona?
Important.
Like, yeah. While that woman is talking, she's like, that woman is trying to give a speech at that charity.
Yeah.
Oh, one more thing about the float, though. Dorinda had to be escorted off because she got blackout.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
By John. I met John. John came and picked her up because she was
Ayla's oldest time.
Allegedly. Anyways, so season 3 of Real Housewives of New York City. Once again, we are heading to Scary Island because Ramona is celebrating. Like, there's so many levels here, right? Ramona is going to go celebrate her like vow renewal to Mario, which I think this was, oh, I guess this is not the first vow renewal because Vicky and
Don.
Don had the first, I believe, which then turned into their divorce. So maybe this is the second.
This was the curse in action, the birthplace of the curse.
And you know, I haven't gone back and watched old seasons in a minute. I used to always, but I just haven't in a while. And I forget how horny Ramona is for Mario because we know Ramona horny for just like bartenders now, but I forgot when she's talking to like that Hooters guy and she's like, I'm hot for him.
And again, he is the Hooters guy is gross. And she, what does he say? He's like, they got nothing on you. And she's like, you made my day. I mean, and then she's just like, you know, like whispering in his ear. I'm like, I love to flirt too, but Ramona has, she's on a new level.
A gift. She has a gift.
Gift of gab.
And I still wonder like why Kelly showed up to go on this trip. Because it's clear that Luann and Jill were both like, even to production, like, don't let her go. But something made her go. And I don't know, is it her hunger to be on television?
No,
is
it the P word, production. I'm sure that they knew that she would be good TV. And so they convinced her and she was not of sound mind. And so they probably said, by the way, there's going to be gum bears there. And she said, gum bears? And then she was on that plane, babe.
So right when we land, I mean, we're going, we're fighting. Bethany is, you know, Kelly's mad at Bethany for being there because her dad died. Like
it's creepy. It's weird.
It's so creepy. I forgot about that level of it, about her father dying and Kelly like being like, just blame, like she's just mad at her about it.
That's what I thought. I had missed something. I'm like, do I need to go back and watch a few more episodes? Like, I think this is. Is this before or after the I'm down here and you're up here, like at the Brass Monkey?
This is after. That was the last season. Season 2.
Oh, that was even a whole season ago. Because I was like, where is this, all of this coming from? The cook, the chef, the dad, anger. I'm like, where, what?
I honestly don't think they filmed together this season at all. Now that I think about it. Because if you remember, the season is very like Game of Thrones-y in the way that there's like two houses. There's Ramona, Alex, and Bethany. And then there's everyone else. And they're very rarely mixing and mingling because of the Bethany, Jill divide. And Alex is running back and forth as the messenger. I don't know if you guys saw like the like previously.
Yes.
Alex like breaks on the highs. Just like, I'm just the messenger.
I feel like Alex. She does that a few times. I'm like, no one asked you to do this. Like Luann was like, no one is telling you. And she just breaks out. It's so sad. She's trying so hard.
It's so hard. But right when we land, we get like the iconic the beginning of the end where Kelly's like fully in another state, just like, I don't even process foods, and she's like deep throating gummy bears. She eats the whole trip. And I wonder, like, there, what is that? Like, who just sits and eats candy like all day long like that?
Well, isn't that, haven't we had a recurring theme of not to say that people who eat gummy bears are unwell, but isn't Kelly not the only housewife or character that's like into like that type of candy? I'm sure there is someone else, or maybe it's just Kelly has such a place in our brains that I'm now making her into multiple people, which I think we do know she probably does have multiple personalities or something adjacent to that.
Yeah, there's a couple people up there,
but she just does not. First of all, she is unwell and projects a lot. But don't you agree that all the women that also went on the trip are unwell in their own ways? And that combination, I don't think anyone dealt with anything well on this trip.
No, it's because they're not like, it's not the right group of people. Like, Ramona literally hates Alex, but is like pretending to be her friend this whole season. Remember, like, she used to like despise her.
Yeah.
Simon. And then Bethany and her fight constantly. So like, who is Ramona's person here on the trip?
That's Sonia, yeah.
Well, okay. Well, let's talk about Sonia. This was a wild revisit because Sonia was a different person then.
She was.
This is the last, the most I've seen Sonia's house like alive. I'm like, this is, it feels so dead in the later episodes. And she has that like charity event like later on. I'm like, wow, mm-hmm. Sonia was living. We hear the recount of my 5-star chef on my yacht. And it's kind of crazy to think that from this season all the way through to the latest Bluestone Manors, when Dorinda's like, you're living in the past. It's like, wow, this really has been a thing the whole time.
Yeah.
It's almost like her villain origin story, I think. It's mm-hmm. We see an insight into who she at her heart is. So we love Sonia because she actually is a great person who was trying to help Kelly, and like, but she also is grieving her past, and it makes me deeply sad that she's probably still grieving it today.
Yeah, well, and the also another part of that whole past situation that it doesn't get spoken about a lot, they were only married for like 6 years, 8 years. It was like, not that that's not a long time, but she acts like this was something from like, you know, early 20s to today, like the 20 plus years of marriage. Like it's not that long of a relationship that she's so attached to, but it's clear that it's the status that was so important to her that she lost, which is dark.
It's very dark because it's all relative. Her life post-marriage must be starkly different than when she was mm-hmm. getting her private chef on the yacht.
Right, I mean, she's married to J.P. Morgan's, like, grandson, J.P. Morgan III or whatever. And, yeah, the money had to have just been...
Tax the rich. Tax. This is an argument for why there should not be billionaires. Sonia Morgan. Depression.
But yeah, so this is a fun season because Sonia's like entering in and like really kind of like getting acquainted, and we're getting this like kind of hoity-toity version of her, which then kind of quickly dissipates like later in as these episodes unfold a little bit. Like she kind of starts to be the Sonia we love when she's like drinking, and when she like runs back to Kelly's room and is like, it smells like cat pee in here. And then, like, belly flops, like, on Kelly.
You broke my leg.
Had to have hurt so bad. I mean, Kelly is literally made of, like, sticks.
Yeah, I also think that Sonia's confessional look with the pink ruffles is...
It's pretty iconic.
It's iconic. And I think she looks great now. I think the biggest difference, not to pick apart a woman's appearance, but is the only difference, like, the work she did to her lips? I feel like she... is kind of like a statue she stayed mostly looking the same.
I maybe a little lips, and then she also is I think she's one of the teeth people who got their teeth done.
Teeth person, yeah, it's just like Kyle Richards.
Yeah, you know this. Yeah, I really hate that phase of like after the Housewives fifth season, they get like a white bar of tooth. Just like,
it's ruined how I look at people, and especially now that we live in LA, I think we see it more. And now mm-hmm. when I meet a new person, I'm like going to the teeth line.
Wait, so we also once again go back and forth between Lou in the city, and one of her like interstitials is she's like on a date with like this like Stephen Baldwin lookalike character. And have you guys been? I've actually been to this bar. Have you been there before?
Matt, you tell the story.
No, we haven't. So we haven't been there. No, I wish. Eric was a walking tour guide for a while in New York, and he did one of Chinatown, and the Bloody Angle was one of, it was so funny because the guy that she was on a date with was giving like the exact spiel that Eric like does, like, this is known as the Bloody Angle, and da da da, and this is actually a speakeasy. I'm like, wow, we really should have gone there, but next trip.
It did look nice, especially the countertop lit on fire.
Yeah, like, I want to see it lit
okay.
up.
It's interesting. It's. I mean, as you know, it's in the most kind of, it's in such a bizarre area that you don't necessarily want to like, not that there's something wrong with that area. It's just like in my mind of like a night out, I'm not interested in being like in Soho Chinatown.
No, and especially after a certain hour. Like, I'm not going to get late drinks at Apoteca on, in the Bloody Angle. Like, I, sure, 6:37, I'm there, but it's not.
It's all like 21-year-olds or people with fake IDs.
Jersey, you know? People, tourists. Yeah.
The street has become actually like weirdly almost like Murray Hill now. It's like, it's just like that energy, and like everything is now like Instagram painted on that street. But no, I love that Luann went down to Chinatown for this date with.
Well, I know that's something else I was thinking about. I was like, now they talk so much about like how they won't go south of 59th Street.
Yeah, she must have really. I wonder if they slept together after filming.
I think so. Yeah,
it's just also, she can do better.
Like bad sex.
Well,
yeah.
I couldn't get over the kissography that we kept seeing between. He would kiss, they would kiss each other's cheeks, and clearly she, I think, wanted to be tongue fucked by him, but she didn't want to do it on camera. That's my interpretation. So she kept giving him little pecks on the lips, but like, and then he thought she was going for it, so he would like have a lip quiver to invite her lips in, but then she would just peck. And I was like, can you just either do it or not? It's giving me anxiety, if the kissography.
Agree. And then he gave her that book, which that like, what was that? Like an erotica? What was that?
It was actually Diana Jenkins' first book.
What's that called? Room whatever. Yeah. 297 or whatever.
Yeah.
So one of my favorite parts of this trip is we also get turtle time. So like the girls are like getting lit at the boat. This is when Kelly says to Sonia, if you had it like this, you wouldn't give it away. And I was like, I wrote that down because I'm like, that is one of the most fucked up things you could ever say to someone, to be like, oh, but if you had it like this, if you looked like me, like I wouldn't have one night stands with people, which is like an origin of another fight of theirs.
Yeah. What did she say to Bethany about one night stands? She was like, I have dignity, or I have self-respect, or something like that.
Yeah, it's like, what a weird thing to like hone in on. I mean, I don't think that one night stands are really very like de classe. Everyone does them.
Again, Kelly is so sex negative that she is probably living a miserable life. Who hurt Kelly is what I want to know.
Or who didn't give Kelly an orgasm is what I want
to know. Or who didn't hurt her in the way that feels good.
Or that, yes. Yeah, I mean, I think she appears to be someone who just hasn't had sex to me. Like, she has had sex, she has children, but I just mean, like, she's not like, it's not something that she, maybe something she doesn't really like.
Yeah, it's not fun. It's just for procreation. I don't know. I don't know.
She's not like in her body. You know what I mean? Like, you know, people.
Yeah.
Like, she walks around just like a model with gummy bears. Like, she has no sort of like,
that's why she runs in front of taxis, just to feel something.
In her words.
I have a question. Who do you think has slept with more people, Luann or Sonia?
I think Luann.
I think Luann. I don't know if I always believe Sonia. Like, I think she's like flirty, but at the end of the night, she's probably like, okay, bye. Whereas like,
yeah,
Luann is getting it all over.
Oh, I like that. So Sonia's more of the tease, but Luann is feeling the peas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And as we see later with Tom D'Agostino, remember Sonia like went on 10,000 dates with him and like thought that they were like something. And was like actually like felt things for him, which I think she feels things for a lot of the men.
But Luann actually.
And Luann was like, oh, I'm just going to fuck him. But then yeah, he said that he would put a ring on it.
But then yellow diamond.
Yellow diamond. What an era. That when I remember where I was when I found out she was engaged. I remember where I was on Christmas Eve when I found out she got arrested.
Oh my gosh,
it's just like the death of Michael Jackson. We all knew where we were. I was leaving my voice teacher's home. I also want us to throw back to Dorinda's wedding speech on the yacht for Luann and Tom. Remember, sometimes, that was one of the...
Sometimes when you meet someone and they... And then me, and you say, that's right.
That, and it cuts to all the people like,
that's right.
What is she?
What did she say?
It's one of my favorite Dorinda quotes of all time. She looks blackout. She can't hide it. The woman looks disheveled.
Joker vibes.
Yeah, but it's weird. It's like one martini hits and then her hair, like, yes. It's like her wig shifts sideways.
It's Karen Huger's win. Hold on a second. Hold on.
No, but so Kelly has this full crazy mental breakdown number 2 of 10. And the woman, Bethany's like, I got to get out of here. And they find Ramona with the Hooters boat, which the idea of the CEO of Hooters having a boat, like, it just screams Trump to me. Like, all parts of it. Like, it screams insurrection, to be honest, actually. It
screams Jeffrey Epstein, like, those poor women, get them off.
Right. Do you think,
blink twice if you need help. I wonder if it's the same guy that's still the head of Hooters today. I honestly could not tell you how Hooters is doing financially. However, I did go in high school when I was closeted and pretending to not look at the waitresses because they were just so hot. Meanwhile, I think the guy I was with was also closeted. Like, it was just like, it was one charade.
I've definitely had fried pickles and wings there at a time in my life. So, but I remember we had like friends, we had like neighbors who would like take us there with their kids, like for like dinner on Sunday growing up in Texas.
Not Sunday dinner.
Well, I'm not kidding. Like, that's Texas. Like, they just think they're like men, just like for some reason that's okay. I'm like, how is this okay? But like, there are so many parameters you put upon our lives, but
Hooters is fine.
Going to
family
Hooters
dinner.
Matt, have you been to Hooters?
I've been a couple times. I grew up in the South too. They've got great wings.
Would you go with your parents?
I took my sister and her friend because they're 3 years younger than me and they wanted to go, and we were all like, "Let's go to Hooters! Oh my gosh!" I think we told our parents.
It's not that scandalous, really. It's just like, you know, all about the bubbies, which is like so problematic.
And they're thick stockings.
Like, yeah, 8 layers of stockings.
Right. And then, like, they supposedly had, like, a thing where you had to, like,
toes to the wall.
Stand next to the bar. Yeah, toes to the wall if your boobs touch. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. But the ladies get blackout and we get turtle time. I mean.
And the dance montage. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
So many memes that I use every week from these episodes.
Right.
The dance.
It feels like Bethany Frankel is doing the cha-cha slide the whole time. I was noticing her moves, and it's giving a lot of hip. I want to know what song. I know because they can't use anything of like for licensing or whatever. Mm-hmm. I want to know what actual music they were listening to during Turtle Time.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it was the cha-cha slide, honestly, at this like white ass frog place in St. John.
Cha-cha, real smooth.
But I never oh my God, my dog just like belly flopped on the ground. I never understand how Ramona can drink so much wine and not fully vomit. It's so much sugar. And she's sitting there with like her 10th glass of Pinot Grigio twirling it.
Yeah.
Why are you not sick?
I don't know how any of them drink so much on these when they're filming these. It would ruin me.
Yeah, especially, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but venturing into my 30s, I cannot drink like I used to. I mean, get so hungover so easily.
That's what I'm impressed that they're able to. I'm like, did they just never stop from their 20s on, or that's all the they're on the Vanderpump Adderall thing, or like, I don't know.
Well, back to the earlier conversation about whether was used behind the scenes. I think we can assume
maybe that's
there were some
key
things at play.
How do they keep all their energy up? Cut to.
Right. So the next day we're going to the house, which I feel like this is pre Bravo, like paying for everything. Like, I think Ramona put up money for this. Do you think?
I didn't even.
He certainly made
that
it sound like it.
I mean, it's so extravagant. I mean, this is expensive.
To jump ahead, but I couldn't get over that. Jill said that Bobby had spent a fortune to get the private jet to go to reroute them. So, like, I think you're right. There must have been a lot more of their own money going into this Mm-hmm. And I couldn't get over that Ramona's taste for luxury. She's had this forever. I mean, the giddiness that she felt when they saw the house that they had rented was, I understand feeling excited, but you can just see the dollar signs in her eyes.
It was a different time, especially like in just like the way these women spend money. And it's just, I mean, it's a very short trip, but they're only gone for like four or five days. And they're like on a boat for what, two nights, in a house for two nights. It's just so much happening.
Which is why Alex McCord is shaking by the time Jill shows up.
He's like, I can no longer be here.
They act like they've been through war.
They have.
Like, sweetie, you're getting your nails painted right now.
So once they get to the house is when Kelly has this crying moment right in the bedroom and calls Jill and is like, in the skinny girl bag, it's like what triggered it, and it's like that is what did it, that bag.
I had to rewind because I thought we missed something. I'm like, wait, she's crying, it's the bag, what?
Oh right, there are tears at this point.
She's laying on the bed sobbing like, you're triggered by the skinny girl.
Well, clearly the context of the last season and just how much Kelly hates Bethany, and anytime she sees Bethany have an ounce of success triggers Kelly. So that's why she is so good for the show, because she goes for the jugular no matter what Bethany does. You're not a cook.
Right.
This bag is so
cool. Oh, we didn't talk about that. How did we not even talk about that?
The cook and the chef thing.
I have to say it's the one thing I agree with Kelly.
Oh, interesting. Go on. Why do you agree? I also don't care enough to agree, but like,
sure, I don't care. But after we've seen the way Bethany operates on TikTok with those scary ass recipes,
I can't even go there.
Lighting her house on fire, I'm like, there's no way this woman is a chef. That's a cook.
Rewatching these episodes, I was re-mourning the Bethany that we used to have. She was so good on television, and now she is a nightmare.
She's so funny.
Funny
in
funny,
that
funny,
chair, funny. Pregnant as fuck, just being like. I mean, I didn't even write stuff down, but she just says shit that is like hilarious. Like, you can't write it. Like, I mean, well, maybe someone did write it for her, but she, yeah, you're right. I miss it too. And I don't think we'll never get her back.
But you think that, so you think that she is a cook and she's not a chef?
Yeah, absolutely.
Matt, break the tie.
I mean, she's a cook.
Well,
she's not a chef. I don't care how many Southampton parties she's catered. She didn't even.
That will never. You'll never be a lady.
She'll never be a lady. She didn't even take the string off of the steak. Come on.
Even Louis Vuitton makes mistakes. I think that she is whatever the fuck she wants to be. But I do. But I'm sure I'm now. If there's any chefs listening, I bet you I am offending the chef community, because you're right. She should have cut the string from the steak.
She should have. That is, and it is kind of funny that Kelly got that steak.
Yeah, and then Bethany's like, it's
she was pissed
raw.
Right. So I keep feeling like we're like forgetting moments because there's so many moments. But then when we're at the house, we also get the photo shoot.
Oh my gosh!
Which, by the way, Sonia looked incredible,
unbelievable. I mean, Alex looks scary.
Oh, Alex is, it's, you know what, people give too much shit to Ramona for the catwalk eyes, where I think Alex McCord's hip sway, lower jaw out, I think that should get as much higher as Ramona gets.
The pencil lips, grimace, and oh my gosh.
And then what about like the Johan face thing is so weird.
That creeped me out. I'm like, what? That's her child, right?
Right, I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Is she trying to say baby face or like, look at it? I was.
No, but then she was like, think about him.
Yeah.
Oh, and then like, Ramona said that she was thinking of having sex with Mario.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, but I think she's always thinking about having sex with Mario.
True.
I would.
Yeah, who wouldn't? Jesus.
He could get it, you know?
Even now, he still looks good. I don't care how old he is.
Matt, would you what's the first sexual act you think about when you're in a bed with Mario?
I don't know. Pass.
You plead the fifth?
Yes, I plead the fifth.
Tom, what about you?
I'm definitely going down on him first. I gotta see like what's happening down there.
Yeah, I agree.
I've heard all the crazy, like we've heard Ramona, you know, toss and turn about how good it is. So I got to see what's going on. I mean, we nearly see them have sex, remember?
I don't.
Oh, they go fully naked. They like get everything down to like their underwear in like season 4, maybe. Mm. Like they're in a hotel and like she's like rubbing on his chest. She's like sitting on his.
Oh, chair. There's like a lap dance or something. I feel like he's on a chair. Like,
yes. You know, I've met him too, actually.
You have? Oh, I haven't met him.
I have. It takes away a little bit of the mystique of him, but I will say he was so weirdly friendly with me and my ex at the time, like weirdly friendly.
this episode is called allegedly.
Well, allegedly that did happen, but it felt weird. He wasn't creepy. It was just like, it was one of those ways where you're like, you're a little too into like getting the attention from the gays right now for you not be in on it a touch.
So you agree?
Do you agree?
He wants a touch.
He did. He did want. Well, he was. No, I shouldn't say that. Avery was in at the party too. So I met her, who's a full nightmare.
Oh my gosh.
Let's not talk about the kids.
You're right. No, but when we get back from the photo shoot is when we get the dinner, the moment, really. I mean, I think the Jill moment is a moment in itself, but this is really the peak of the trip, you know? They're trying to, like, wrap up the trip on a nice note, and Kelly just, I mean, everyone knows the quotes, the Al Sharpton, the all of it. She's just spewing nonsense.
I had honestly forgotten about Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton! Al Sharpton!
You can't handle the truth. You can't handle the truth is from, that movie. It's Jack Nicholson.
A Few Good Men? Or...
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. That's it. That's it. Yeah.
You can't handle the truth. Al Sharpton. Wait, what? Sweetheart. And then doesn't she like say like, in the hair, Al Sharpton. It's like, sweetheart, at least look at the around the room and look at the looks you're getting. You're not saying the right reference. Have I gotten a reference wrong? Of course. But when you see all the faces drop, you jump ship. You don't repeat Al Sharpton.
That's awful. I'm so sorry you went through that.
I said when I was in school, remember the song? They're saying Shodaline. It's like this like hip hop song that was like famous, and I didn't know the words and I didn't care to look them up, so I was like Shanari, and my friend's like, what are you saying right now? And I was like, I don't know, Shanari, like it's Shoulderline. I was like, interesting.
I'm awful with lyrics. I like never know the lyrics to any songs, and Brian is always like, what did you just say? And one of the things growing up that I fully thought, because I listened to, like, my parents like would play Michael Jackson a lot, and like I was familiar with the discography, but in Rihanna's Don't Stop the Music, I didn't know what a sample was, I think. And so I was like, oh, I love that part where she's like, mama say I'm not going to stop.
No, Tom.
Mama say I'm not going to stop.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, and my friend was like, what are you saying? And I was like, no, like, stop, because she's not going to stop the music.
She's not going to stop it.
They're like, unfortunately, that is full. You've taken this in a whole other
You are
direction.
The weakest link. Goodbye. Every relationship.
And your white has jumped out.
Every couple needs to have one who knows the lyrics and one who doesn't. I would, dare I say, Matt, you're good with lyrics.
Yeah, you're not good. You've got some interesting.
I'm admittedly not, but Matt will be like singing along and saying the actual words, and I'm like, oh, that's beautiful. Like, I had no idea. That's
those are the words. Wow.
Like, wow, Matt, that's so poetic. How'd you come up with that? He's like, no, I'm actually singing what Adele wrote.
No, Matt, I actually did identify with you. You tweeted something recently about Taylor, and you're like, I can't just make thoughts like immediately about these things. Like, I need to like listen to these words and understand them, because like I'm that way when I listen to stuff. I can't like I just listen to the beat and I'm like, is it good? Is it not?
Is the vibe good?
I'm sorry, I'm not that deep.
No, same. I don't like anything on first listen almost. So,
except for what, Matt?
Except for Lizzo.
No, I thought you were gonna say Beyonce Renaissance.
No, I was skeptical about that. I was like, oh, this is weird. This is different. Okay, but Lizzo.
Oh, please tell me you're in now.
Oh my gosh.
But Lizzo, I can't get into it.
Oh, really? We enjoy it.
Wow.
You know, I actually only gave it like two listens, and I don't know.
It's so fun. It's just good, like, jamming, dancing. in your.
You know, I need to. Maybe I was not in a happy place when I listened to it. It's such a joyful album that maybe I was like in.
You have to be in the right space. Like, yeah, not. You have to be in the right spot.
Did you guys see her live?
We're going next month.
Oh my god! Yay! Oh,
I forgot we are. So fun. Matt got it for me for our anniversary, and by that I mean Matt got it for Matt for our anniversary.
That's the best when you buy like someone a gift that is like a joint gift.
He said, "Oh, I forgot to tell you, I got us something," and I was like, "Oh."
I wanted to go, and I knew if I asked you, you'd be like, "No, don't spend the money on that."
We were driving. He just mentioned it while we were driving, and I was like, "Oh, fun!"
I got it months ago with the pre-sale, and I was like, I just gotta wait for the right occasion and be like, it's a present.
Oh my god, you are so funny.
Present for you, me.
I said it was an experience for us together.
That's.
It will be an experience.
I am excited.
She's amazing live. I saw her like I saw her like right when the "Cause I Love You" album came out. So she was doing like smaller venues, but she's gonna be so good. You're gonna have a blast. I for kicks for her birthday, I got a reservation because she had mentioned we've like talked about going to the Polo Bar to say we've done it, and I've never been before, and I got us a res for her birthday at the Polo Bar. Aww. For dinner, but like I also am just like I want to go to the Polo Bar.
Wait, didn't we, Matt, get we got a gift card to
the Polo Lounge.
Oh, we did.
It's at the bar, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yay. Okay, so we'll have to...
Have you been before?
Matt's been. I've never...
Wait,
been.
Which... The Beverly... Here or there?
In the city.
Did you go to the New York one with me? No, I went, Matt, I went a couple times. I saw... There was some D-list celebrity, but I can't remember.
Yeah, I feel like that's like half the appeal, too. You'll, like, run into someone.
Wait,
yeah.
We have to mention a Bravo Love that we saw when we were at dinner with... I forget who we were with, but we saw Jeff Lewis at a restaurant in L.A. not that long ago.
Love Jeff. He's crazy, but I really do love him for the television.
He's dark-sided, but good TV for sure.
Very dark-sided and very self-sabotage.
Yes.
Oh, and by the way, I was at a show a few days ago, a play, and I didn't tell Matt this, I forgot. I think I saw Gage in the audience.
Wow.
Did you tell him you saw Jeff a couple nights prior?
I said, I saw Jeff at Laurel Hardware. How are you, sweetie? No, I was with a friend. I was like, I'm pretty sure that's Jeff Lewis's ex-husband. And my friend knew who all those people were, and it was thrilling.
Gage, of course, yeah. Wait, so back to the episode though, we get one more interstitial scene of Jill telling Luann that she's going to make the move to crash the trip.
And Luann says, "Oh God, honey, no."
And this may be the only like one of the more sound moments of advice from Luann. Like, she's not trying to play into the television program. She's like, this is a very bad idea.
She's not trying to play into the television program was the funniest thing I've ever heard. You're right, because she forgets the cameras are there. She looks into her friend's eyes and she say, "You're gonna go across the globe to surprise the people who don't like you." Who is a chore?
So quickly too, like, right. Well, and then Jill says, I did not remember the sign. She says, "When I get there, I just want to grab Bethany and like have a chat with her, just like two little girls sitting on a beach." It's like, what?
It's Jill Zarin is triggering for me because she, and sometimes Ramona, is the example of the qualities of a Jewish mother that can sometimes be difficult. And this specific quality is intention and execution being on different islands, if you will. And her intention was to build a bridge. Go absolutely off, Jill. I love that for you. You know you fucked up with Bethany. Create the bridge. The execution is you're going to jump on a plane to go on the trip that you had already declined to then surprise the people who don't want you there. How do you think they're going to be, "Oh, Jill, thank God you're here"? No, they're going to do what they did, which is kick you off an island.
So let's get to it though, because Jill shows up, we get the iconic hi moment. I just did Alaska, not Jill, but that's where we're at. And here's the thing, It is, she, Jill is acting like she didn't know what was going on this whole trip. Like, she kind of comes in like, what do you mean you guys are upset? And it's like, you know, like, you have producers in your ears. You have your friend Kelly who's telling you this shit is a mess. Like, and then have you heard, it's come out like recently that Kelly and Jill ran into each other at the airport. Do we not know about this?
Well, I remember Jill saying that recently and making it like a big deal, but on this episode, didn't Jill say I ran into Kelly at the airport?
She does. Oh,
did she?
She does. And I was shocked because Jill made like such a big deal about like announcing that. She claims she has a picture that she's trying to find, but she won't give it to any of the podcast. She's gonna wait and like put it in her own thing. I was like, okay, yeah, calm down.
Right. Well, yeah, and then she knows what's gone down, and she gets there, and she's shocked that like they don't want her there. All those people hate her.
I do.
That's my other thing with all of this is like these people don't like each other, so they can't expect like a warm welcome from a group of four women, three women who actively don't like you, and then a fourth Sonia who doesn't know you.
Oh, that's true. I felt a little on a rewatch. I felt a little not duped by the editors, but the editors did a bit of a disservice because clearly they wanted to just elevate the drama of when Jill arrived. They didn't want to see her, but you can tell that they were trying to have somewhat normal reactions, but all the clips that we were seeing was Alex McCord shaking, Bethany laying back, Ramona not knowing what to do. And you can tell Sony was like, hi, giving her kisses on the cheek. Like, obviously they did not want her there, but the editing of it is so chaotic because they wanted to get to the punch, which is that Jill walked in. And I do think that Jill unfortunately thought that there was going to be a bit of a more, at least people pretending to be happy she was there. And that is not what she got. And when she cries into her dear husband's arms, I was like, this woman is all of a sudden in seventh grade getting rejected by the cool kids.
She really is. But she like used to be the cool kid.
Yes. She used to be Regina George.
That's the part of it that's right. Or maybe she's always been the person that thought she was Regina George and she wasn't.
Well, this whole episode to me does feel, who says like this is high school? Oh, when Kelly sort of changed her seat at the dinner. No, I think someone else says it because she doesn't want to sit across from Bethany. It's that's why I think they're all, Kelly's unwell, but they're all high school. They're all very like.
Totally. Well, we'll also never forget, isn't this a season where Alex says, you're all in high school and while you're in high school, I'm in Brooklyn trying to raise a family. Yes.
Alex McCord is, I think she just did good things for the show when she was on it, but I think she is not built for
Prime time. No.
She breaks out in hives, any confrontation. It's
talk
so
about talk about high school. She to me is you're in eighth grade and she's not with the cool kids, but the cool kid's mom is friends with Alex McCord's mom and she's forced to sit at the lunch table with them and they're like, who the fuck is this girl? And then she's like, did you guys like the play we're reading in English class? I love Merchant of Venice. And you're like, I don't want to talk about that. I want to eat my chicken fingers.
Well, yes, that, but then also like sometimes when you think about her relationship with Simon, it makes the whole like formula even more confusing to me about who she is. And then like, did you see like the recent thing that came out about how he like jizzed on her like right before she gave birth?
No.
Yeah,
of course Matt is her. Wait, Phil, clue me in.
Matt, I love that you know
of course they did like a water birth and I don't know if it was water birth or he was just like behind her like hugging her while she was giving birth and it was he came while she was giving birth, like it was such like a
like
special thing. No, I think he just like got hard while she was heaving, pushing. And whatever friction happened. I don't know.
If I might quote Ramona, I can't.
I can't. I literally can't.
That is gross to me that you are turned on by your spouse creating life.
More than gross. It's just, well, that's, I don't think that should be gross, Eric.
No, not, I'm not saying childbirth is gross. Like, I'm saying that the fact that Simon is eroticizing.
Well, I was going to say, talk about making it about you. I mean, he's literally being
exactly.
Like,
I'm so
making her birth moment about him.
I think, and let me clarify my views. I think that the act of childbirth is the most unbelievable, like, selfless, crazy feat that a person can do. And to me, the fact that Simon is sexualizing it, to me, that's gross. The sexualizing of, you're not, I don't feel like you are supporting your spouse if you're coming on her. That's just not how I would do it personally.
No. But then also just think about, it's Simon, like Simon,
the ascot he wears to Sonia's house at the end. Oh.
Awful. Well, and also remember something else I remembered watching Alex like model in this is that, do you remember her season 4 storyline is that she now wants to become a model?
Oh my gosh.
She like gets a modeling agent and like it's like her new, she's like reclaiming the bad photo shoot. But Jill gets there, ruins the trip, and then the trip's a wrap. But like, I want to know, what are y'all's like big takeaways, like on a rewatch, like what did you find to be like a fun thing you forgot about when like you were revisiting this? And also, and additionally, what is something that jumped out as the spookiest moment of the episode?
Oh, especially for Halloween.
Well, I'll go first with spooky. So spooky for me, there's something about that Hooters boat just like floating in the middle of St. John that feels ooky spooky to me because I'm scared of what's gone down there. And then I think my like favorite thing that was like new to my seasoned Bravo eyelids was seeing like old Sonia. I thought that was like kind of like an interesting light to like look back on.
I think that what's the most enjoyable, like surprising thing was what occurred before the dinner scene, go to sleep. I think when I think of Scary Island, I only think of that. And I'd forgotten about how they would sit. I just love that they would sit below deck vibes at the table on the boat in that half semicircle. And then Kelly was already on a crazy bender at that point. And I think the spookiest moment for me is watching Ramona's dollar sign eyes, seeing the house. I just think like the pure unadulterated joy of status is capitalism at its worst. That's what was spookiest for me.
And also during to quote Alex, in this economy too. This economy.
I mean, yeah. What year is this that it happens?
2009 like, or 8. I mean, we're right after the crash.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
No. Matt, what about you?
I think my spookiest moment is Alex on the beach doing her Dawn of the Dead walk. And I think overall memorable is just how many like great memes came out of this, like Ramona grabbing the wine glass from the side and like rolling her eyes.
I forgot about that.
Oh, that was good.
Turtle Time dancing. Like there's just so much. We see the first time of Sonia wearing that red dress that's so well trained, it just falls off. I'm like, she's using this.
Oh,
10 years later, still she's still wearing that dress to the cabaret. Like,
but that just line shows Sonia's brilliance of like, I laughed out loud when she said it was so well trained. And then, I mean, it's just like she has the quips. I do think also a part I'd forgotten is Kelly's face when Bethany's telling her to go to sleep and Kelly puts her chin in.
She gains like 10 chins.
Yeah, she puts her chin in and then she's like looking at Bethany like she is the grossest, craziest thing when really, and I also have to say that I love when they're all like, wait a minute, you guys, this woman is not well. And then like they're all patting themselves on the back that all of a sudden they're like being nice to her. They're like, we're such good people.
When they didn't bully her. She was acting insane, I think, but they weren't helping.
None of them are blameless, but I do love the like, and you know what? Even I, Bethany, was really nice to her after I screamed at her for 3 days.
I'm sad we didn't talk about that. I mean, I totally forgot about the wine glass moment. That is one of my favorite memes of her just grabbing the wine. It's such a mood.
It's so,
you know,
subtle too. I'm glad that the memers picked up on it because it
But you know that there, think about how many moments like that Ramona has had when the cameras like just didn't catch it, of her just like doing that's why she's, I mean, I don't think she belongs on these shows anymore, but I think that's why she does make a good reality star. Yeah. in certain moments like that. I think she's just so incredibly watchable because she's chaos.
Well, remember when they're eating around the table on the boat and she's like, she didn't get a dessert. I mean, she's you can hear her ordering the staff around, and it is clear.
Where's my wine?
Terror.
I'm gonna eat those grapes. Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna stomp on the grapes, Bethany. Oh, like, God, right. That's how she's such a good
TV. I don't joke about food. I'm Kelly, like, what? Yeah.
Oh, and that's to my point about, like, anything Bethany says, Kelly has a problem with. And right. Then Bethany goes, it's a joke. Have you heard of a joke?
Well, what a fantastic set of eps. And please, if you listened to this and didn't rewatch it, do go now back and rewatch it, because it really is a jolt of energy I had this weekend getting to revisit this.
So good.
And it's some of the spookiest television out there. And it's like a murder mystery. Almost,
it is, and know? I do love that Kelly is the one that calls it Scary Island during her confessional. Yes, but then at the end of the episode, she's changed it to Poison Island.
And then do you remember like the systematic bullying? Like, she kept saying that over and over again at the reunion, and they're like, what does that mean?
Oh, she keeps saying zip it to all the women.
Although I need Kelly on
Stop
Roni. Legacy.
I am done with her.
She needs to go on a girls trip or something. Send them back to an island.
It's irresponsible, Tom, to put that woman in front of a camera. She is not.
She's better.
So Matt and I check in on her all the time. She's so much better.
She's selling real estate. She was on $1 million listing for a minute. She's ready for a comeback.
I feel burned by Kelly Ben Simone, and I'm not ready to dive back in.
Well, I am. I would definitely want to see that. Wait, one more thing. Who do we all want on Legacy now that we're here?
Wow.
Ooh, controversial. Okay, so let's start with the obvious. Luann has to, because it wouldn't be without her. Sonia, it wouldn't be without her. Mm-hmm. Honestly, sue me, Carol Radziwill. I would do it.
She'll never.
She would never, and not for me. For me, my Carol replacement would be Tinsley.
I need Tinsley.
Wow. I don't want Jill or Dorinda, just like for the satisfaction of that they'll get. And they need to just chill still.
Unfortunately, I think we do know that Dorinda is on it, because there was that whole like, am I off pause, Andy? I mean, which made me want to just like pull my eyeballs
out
of my
skull.
She looked blunt. Dorinda Black at that point too. She had that look. The wig was shifted. I was like, someone take her away, take her home.
If I may say, I like that we can sometimes peel back the curtain on production or whatever it is, but I don't now like that Lisa Rinna said on the Beverly Hills reunion, pause me. I don't like that. To me, agreed. Feels icky drippy. Anyways, no,
some people need to be out.
Yeah,
you know, like let's not all refer to winners here.
Exactly. So yeah, unfortunately Dorinda shouldn't be on it for her mental health, but should be on it for the viewers. Tinsley's an absolute must. I mean who else?
Kelly fills the spot.
Yeah,
Kelly fills the sixth spot.
You're making a good case.
We need a more chaotic person.
Alex McCord lives in Australia, so then we're gonna come back.
Devastating.
And Cindy Barshop is not going to be on.
Watch them bring back
Jules. I would love to see Jules. Well, I need a checkup.
I'm a Jules apologist. I love Jules. She just got arrested. I want to hear all about
it.
She
did.
Yeah, very.
Not just, I think, in like the past year.
Good for her. Stay in the headline, girl.
I think in Palm Beach, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Cursed.
The dark place. Well, boys, thank you so much for being here. This is fun.
So fun. Thanks for having us.
A goddamn honor. I'm so happy you asked us.
Of course. Let everyone know where they can follow you and all that stuff. Matt, take it away.
Oh, I am on Twitter, Instagram. I think both of them are at Matt Lummis, just my name. I tweet about a lot of Housewives, no matter how much Eric likes it or not.
I just remind him that these are real people. That's all I say. That's all I say.
You don't say. I don't think you say crazy shit.
Thank you. Finally.
And now he said it. And then you can follow me at Eric Wills on Instagram, and I'm on TikTok at Eric Wills TT. And my podcast is That's a Gay Ass Podcast, and listen to that wherever you pod.
Yes, do that. It's one of my go-to weekly faves to listen to. Oh, so
adore you.
And then you can follow me at The Tom Hamlet, follow the podcast at Dumpster Dive Pod, and we have some fun, exciting new bonus ups coming in the holiday season that we'll keep you guys updated on what those will be like. And thank you guys for doing our final Halloween series up here. And everyone have a nice spooky, spooky, spooky Halloween. And say bye to the listeners. Bye.
Bye.
Happy Halloween.